Acts chapter 1, we're going to be reading verses 1 to 11 today. Acts chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. To them he presented himself alive after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Before Phil comes up to speak, let me just pray for us quickly. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth that is found in it. And we pray as we look at it now, you'll help us to understand not just what you're saying, but how it applies to us today in these times that we live in. Father, speak to us and help us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Great to be with you today. It's great to see some new faces as well. Welcome to the Moorgate Talks. And can I just firstly apologise? You'll see these flyers. Can I apologise for these terrible titles? I mean, they're accurate, but they're, you know, they're not particularly creative. I'd love you to think, you know, about inviting colleagues along to this series. It may be that you need to think of a better title. The overall title of the series, Understanding the Times We Live In, Acts is about the birth of Christianity, the first few years of the Christian church, so that might be something that's of interest to some colleagues. And there's loads in Acts that's going to help us understand the heart of the Christian message as we go through. So can I encourage us just to think and pray if there are for opportunities and for our colleagues as we come to this series in Acts. I don't know how you're finding the first few days of January back at work, whether it's a busy time of year for you or just a depressing time of year. Sometimes it can feel like life is just one grim day after another. I don't know if that's where you're at this point. I was chatting to some guys last night. I thought the most depressing day of the year was supposed to be this Monday gone, but apparently they're saying it's coming up. So unfortunately, we've got that to come. Is there any purpose or direction to life? We may wonder. I was staring out of the commuter train the other day, just watching the sort of grey London go past, and these kind of thoughts come into your mind. Is there any direction to the world? Well, Acts is going to really help us with that, wherever we're coming from, I hope. And I hope you'll be able to come and join us in this study of the first few chapters of Acts and the birth of Christianity. I just want to pause on the question of who wrote this book that we're looking at. It's important to think, I guess when you get emails, one of the first things you do is think, who has written this email? And that's going to help you to understand it. Now, if you look at your outline there, you'll see a BBC verified photograph of Luke. Luke is the author of Acts. Just look down with me at this first verse, the first sentence of Acts. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach. Which raises the question, what is the first book? This is the second book. What's the first book? Turn back with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. If someone gets a page number, please shout it out.
1030.
Keep a finger in Acts. Luke chapter 1, so I'll read the first four verses. Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us, speaking about all of the things that Jesus said and did. Just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word have delivered them to us, it seemed good to me also, that's Luke, having followed all things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, that you may have certainty concerning the things you have been taught. Okay, no one knows who Theophilus is. There's been lots of ink spilled about that. No one knows. He was probably a recent convert to Christianity. Luke says he's followed all things closely for some time past in verse 3. He was there with that first generation of eyewitnesses. He himself was an eyewitness for some of it. His method, it seems, would have been to interview those who had seen Jesus and been with him. Luke, like an investigative journalist or historian, has investigated these things closely. He would have spoken to Peter and the other apostles, those 12 disciples with Jesus, but also many others who were around. He was known to be a close associate of the apostle Paul. In one of Paul's letters, Colossians, Paul refers to Luke as the beloved physician, the beloved doctor. So he was also a medical doctor, it seems, turned investigative historian. Now, look at his purpose in verse 4. His purpose for writing, that you, Theophilus, may have certainty concerning the things you have been taught about Jesus. Luke wants to clear away uncertainty for Theophilus. Theophilus is probably already a believer in Jesus. Maybe he's investigating things. Luke wants to clear away uncertainty for him. Perhaps you're here today and you're a follower of Jesus, but you wish you could have more certainty. I often speak to people. In fact, that is probably the case for all Christian believers, filled with doubts often. Well, Luke writes for you. Or perhaps you're here and you're not a Christian, but you want it to be true, but you don't yet feel able to believe it with any intellectual integrity. Well, Luke writes for you too, that you may believe with certainty the things that you have heard about Jesus. In the first volume, that's Luke's Gospel, Luke dealt with the certainty around the identity and work of Jesus, that he is the Son of God, that he died for sin and that he rose again. Which raises the question, why does he write a second volume, Acts? What is Acts there to give us certainty about? Well, come back with me to Acts and look with me at verse 1 and 2 again, and we get the subject of Acts here. In the first book, O Theophilus, I've dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day that he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. That word began to do and teach is very deliberate. Acts, therefore, according to Luke, is about the work of the risen Jesus in the world now, between his ascension and his return. We've called this series Understanding the Times because the heartbeat of Luke's work in Acts is to give us certainty about the times in which we live now, the age we live in now. There are three things he wants us to be certain of in these 11 verses we're going to pause on. Number one, understanding the times, Jesus really is alive. Number two, now is the age of Spirit-empowered witness. Number three, there is a delay, but he will return. Okay, three brief points we're going to pause on. Understanding the times, Jesus really is alive. Look at verse 3. Luke says, Jesus presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. Jesus appeared to his chosen eyewitnesses, or apostles, as he calls them in verse 2, over a period of 40 days. I wonder if you realize that, or have ever thought about it. 40 days. Their experience of the risen Lord Jesus after his death was not a brief lunch or, you know, a 20-minute catch-up with the CEO every quarter that you guys might have. No, over 40 days. That's the length of an Ashes series. That's the length of a half term. Notice he presented himself alive by many proofs. Many, in other words, many more than are recorded in the Gospels for us, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. They're only the tip of the iceberg, Luke says. Enough for us readers, but the apostles had many more. Books could have been written just about their time with the risen Jesus. Verse 4, while he was staying with them, that word means eating with them. Was it 20? Was it 30? Was it 40 encounters? Substantial meetings while he taught them for hours about the kingdom of God. Why? Jesus was preparing his special witnesses, verse 2, whom he chose, he called apostles, his special eyewitnesses of his resurrection who were to have authority to teach his words to the world. This is vital for us to know. Jesus made sure that these apostles, 11 at this point, couldn't look back in 20 years' time, right, and wonder, was it a ghost? Did I really see it? Jesus made sure they couldn't do that. Or as they were being led down the tunnel to their death, as many of them were, they couldn't look back and wonder, was it real? Or as they were being given one last chance to recant their belief in Jesus, the risen Lord, they wouldn't be able to think, did it really happen? No. 40 days. Luke, the author, wants to give us the same certainty that Jesus is alive. He rose. And the witnesses are rock solid. And as Jesus presented himself to them alive in verse 3, you see that word, he presented himself to them. So he presents himself to us today, to you and to me, alive through their witness. Will you believe it? Understand the times. Jesus is alive, risen never to die again. And that means he is God's Messiah today. Number 2, understand the times. Now is the age of spirit-empowered witness to the world. And I've got it wrong on your sheets. I think the verse, it should start at verse 4 to 8. Just look down with me at verse 4. While staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. The promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit, is going to be poured out. The age, therefore, of the risen Jesus is the age of the Spirit poured out. But look at verse 6 with me, because the disciples immediately ask a question. When they come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? It's a question about timing. You see that? Will you do it now? Is now the end? Is now the time that God is going to bring all of his promises to his people? His promises of a kingdom that will never end, that will be a kingdom of peace, a new creation. Is now the time when God will bring that day of judgment, the day when God will finally bring his inheritance for his people? Is now that time, the disciples ask. Is it now? Natural question for them. It's a natural question for us too. What should we expect to see now? Should we expect to see God bringing his kingdom of peace on earth here today? Is now the time? Why has it been 2,000 years? It's often a question that we hear today, isn't it? And maybe some of our colleagues, maybe it's a question we have. That's a question of timing. Look at Jesus' answer in verse 7. He said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. In other words, it is not yet and you don't know when
Notice he does say the end will come. There is a date that the Father has fixed by his own authority. God will make all things right. He will bring his kingdom for his people. But it is not yet, Jesus says. There is a delay. And no one knows how long or short that delay is. No one knows the length of this age. Only the Father. Do you see that? It's not for you to know that. It will come. The end will come. Not yet. It will come. You don't know when. What then is the delay for? What is for now? Jesus moves on in verse 8. But now you will receive the power. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Notice the connection between those two statements. You will receive power from the Holy Spirit, and therefore, and then you will be, and he will empower you to be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. Through the sending of the Spirit, the Lord Jesus empowers his apostles to take his witness to the ends of the earth. He is taking the witness of his life, death, and resurrection to all people. This is the unfinished business of Jesus in the world today, to fill his kingdom with people from all over the world who have heard and believed in him through his apostles' witness. This is the age of Spirit-empowered witness. He says those words and then he goes. Full stop. It's very striking. That's it. I say it's the apostles' witness that he promises will go to the ends of the earth. Is this promise in verse 8 to the church or to the apostles? This is a question I've been wrestling with over this week. Who will be the witnesses? It depends on who you think the you is in verse 8. The context is very clearly the apostles. He has been showing himself, he's presenting himself alive to his apostles. As you read on, the apostles are named. As you look down at verse 22, this word witness, by the way, in Acts is almost always refers to the eyewitnesses. Verse 22 of chapter 1, one of these men must become with us a witness to his resurrection. Come with me to chapter 10, verse 40. This is our last flick. I do want to show you this, though. Chapter 10, verse 40. Peter is giving a speech, the apostle Peter at this point. In verse 40, he says, chapter 10, but God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. Jesus, therefore, I think is saying that by the power of the Holy Spirit, he is going to take the eyewitness testimony and teaching of his apostles to all people. Nothing will stop it. It's not a command, it's a promise. You will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. That is the work of the Holy Spirit in this age. It was the Holy Spirit who empowered that first generation of apostles with courage to preach and to die as witnesses. It is the Holy Spirit who has empowered the church ever since to take their witness to the ends of the earth. It is the Holy Spirit who has arranged for their witness to be written down in the documents that we now have in the New Testament. It was the Holy Spirit who oversaw the process of choosing which documents we now have as the reliable eyewitness testimony of the apostles. You may have seen in the UK, you probably won't have seen this actually, because it's not reported on our news channels, but apparently last year broke records of Bible sales in the UK, up from in 2019, up 135% sales from that year, and mostly to a younger generation. Very strange if you follow the narrative of secularism, but completely in line with what Jesus promises here. The Spirit is at work today, filling the kingdom with people from all over the world through the witness of his apostles, the Bible. I think of Brother Andrew, as he became known, smuggling Bibles. I'm reading this little book to my son at the moment. Smuggling Bibles in the 1950s and 60s into communist Europe and hiding them in his car. The Holy Spirit taking the witness of the apostles through his church to the ends of the earth. It is the Holy Spirit who ensures the translation of the apostles' word into multiple languages, and that work continues today in the power of the Holy Spirit. Where should we look to see the power of God today, the power of the Holy Spirit? Not primarily for signs and wonders, to people falling over and all of this kind of thing. Not to signs in the sky, but to the quiet, unstoppable advance of the gospel into the world. It won't be in our newspapers. There's lots about Iran in the news at the moment, isn't there? But what's not in the news about Iran is the thousands, reports of thousands of people coming to faith in Jesus from Islam. One of my favourite books is a book called Killing Fields, Living Fields. It's a book that traces the history of Cambodia from the 1920s to the 90s, I think, all the way through the awful reign of Pol Pot. And obviously the world knows a lot about Pol Pot, but what it doesn't know is that through those years, the Holy Spirit took the witness of Jesus to many thousands in that country who found life in Jesus. Understand the times. God is filling the world with the witness of his apostles to the risen Jesus. That must happen before the end. The age of spirit-empowered witness. And finally, understand the times. There will be a delay, but he will return. Look at verse 9. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come again in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. I've put a little diagram on your sheet there. The ascension of Jesus back to the Father in heaven marks the beginning of this age, and his return in the same way marks the end. That's the age that Jesus is talking about in Acts. That's the period of time. Understand these times. Can you imagine the 11 disciples there gazing into heaven? Just, and we're not told how long, open mouth. We would, if we were there, wouldn't we? We'd be the same. Stunned, startled, trying to catch a final glimpse of him, wondering if he might have gone for a brief catch-up with the Father and then straight back to them for tea, perhaps, or still wondering if he might bring the end right there and then. The angels come and say, Why are you gazing into the sky like that? What are you expecting to see there? Do you not understand the times? Of course, what should have happened is this. Peter, probably the lead apostle, should have said, Right, lads, he's gone, just as he said he would. He'll come back, but in the meantime, the gospel's got to go out to the ends of the earth, so let's get on with that. And so therefore, I think their gazing aimlessly into heaven is a lesson, is an instruction for us, because in that moment, it is symbolic of a misunderstanding that we will all be subject to, which is to misunderstand the times that we're in, to be in a state of denial or confusion about this age of delay. I think it is to struggle to grasp or to accept that Jesus is not with us now as he once was, and he's not with us now as he one day will be. This passage governs what we expect in this age. Do you see? Church history is full of over-expectation, expecting too much now. It's full of, therefore, as it were, gazing at the sky. Churches and movements can become, for example, preoccupied with seeking an experience of Jesus' physical presence today, like the disciples gazing into heaven. Seeking signs and wonders as if he were here with us on earth. That time is gone. It's very tempting to become preoccupied with an experience of the tangible presence of Jesus But we need to understand the times. He's gone to be with the Father. He will return. Now, it's not that we can experience nothing today. There's great joy and great peace today in Jesus Christ through his Spirit, through his Word. But where we become preoccupied with seeking an experience of the physical, tangible presence of Jesus now, we're gazing into the sky. The angel said, but why are you gazing into the sky? Do you not understand the times? Now is the age of Spirit-inspired, Spirit-empowered witness. That day will come. Also, we can expect the now in another way, in the sense we can expect from the first six, that God will bring all of his promises for his people now. Health, wealth, prosperity. These things are promised, but they are for then. A trouble-free life as a Christian. No, that is not promised for now. Freedom from suffering now. No, that is not promised for now. These things are for then. Understand the times. Notice the angels don't only give a rebuke, but then an encouragement. Verse 11. This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go. This is an encouragement. He's gone to heaven, but he will come back. This age will not go on forever. It will come to an end. You will see him again, disciple. You will be reunited with him. Take courage. And so we mustn't make the mistake of thinking that because we can't see Jesus today, he's not real. We mustn't make the mistake of thinking that because we can't see him, he's not alive and reigning at the Father's side. We mustn't make the mistake of thinking because we can't see him, he's not returning on the clouds of heaven. He is. In the meantime, get on with the work of God. Let's pray as we close. Father in heaven, we thank you for the clarity of these words, that we must understand the times. We thank you that because we can't see Jesus doesn't mean that he's not alive. He is. We thank you that because we can't see Jesus doesn't mean that he's not reigning at the Father's side today. That we can't see Jesus doesn't mean that he's not returning on the clouds of heaven one day, at a day that you have fixed. Father, pray that you would help us to understand the times. And we thank you that today salvation is available, life, peace, forgiveness, through the word of Jesus, through believing in the testimony of the apostles' witness. Father, we pray for this city. We pray for our workplaces. We pray for any here today who don't yet know you. Father, we pray that this message of the apostles' witness would be taken in power by your Spirit and would fill this city. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.